Hello and welcome to The Short Squeeze, a podcast about what's happening in financial markets in the coming week. This week we'll discuss the tail end of Australia's half-year reporting season with 40 companies still to drop their results, and the increasing spread of coronavirus around the world and what impact that's having on trade and commerce. In our final section called What's on Your Radar, we'll touch on US politics and the latest manufacturing data. I'm Lucy Battersby, editor of Markets Live, a daily live blog on the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age about the Australian stock market. And I'm joined by Kyle Rodder, a senior market analyst at IG Markets. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And how have you found the reporting season so far from a macro point of view? Have we been hitting, in general, the earnings targets we were hoping for?
Well, we're sort of in line with expectations at the moment. So coming into the reporting period, the market's consensus was that we'd see earnings growth at around 3%. At the moment, it's about 2.8%. And we've seen a slightly lower number than is on average for the kind of earning beats or upside surprises. So it's been a decent earnings season so far, probably positive overall considering, you know, it was a reasonably, I guess, bearish outlook for market fundamentals leading into it, but certainly hasn't shot the lights out.
And week four is coming up.
Yes.
There's some very, it's a great mix of companies because we've got Bega Cheese in there, which tells us about the damage from any damage from bushfires and floods.
Yes, yep.
We've got Blackmores, who have already, they went into a multi-day trading halt.
Yes.
Regarding their business in China. Mm. And we get Caltex, which we finally get to find out why they're so attractive to all these overseas petrol companies.
The M&A buffs out there.
Yes. We've also got A2 Milk on Thursday and Afterpay, which I might point out is still predicting, the people over at Commonwealth Bank are still expecting a minus $9.5 million loss.
Right.
So, you know, It's speculation on top of a company that's still losing money.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that our clients will be very, very excited about, I'm sure.
Does it get busy?
Our most popularly traded Australian stock with FMG is Afterpay, so it always draws the speculators in, absolutely.
Right. And Afterpay's numbers actually give you a really interesting insight into the retail climate at the moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you can actually see how much people are putting on credit.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And we're also going to get the details from Flight Centre, so another company that may be hit by the slowdown in travel.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're starting to get a lot of these reports now about how firms are expecting to be impacted by the coronavirus going forward. So, you know, generally speaking, we've seen a little bit of pessimism coming through the market and from corporates about how this situation is going to impact earnings, particularly in that sort of consumer space. I was talking about before the fact that we've had a decent earnings season on target. We are still seeing, like in markets around the world, the US was like this through their earnings season, that forward guidance is still being dropped, generally speaking, which, you know, doesn't speak much for the strength in fundamentals going forward.
Do you think we'll get any good dividend surprises?
Well, I mean, so far we've seen a little bit lower than average number of corporates raising their dividends. So it's only been 53% of companies have raised their dividends this half versus what's on average around 62%. So again, it's one of those ones that have probably been a little bit better than expected for this earnings season, but we're still a little bit below the long run averages.
So we're not quite outperforming or underperforming, we're just performing.
Yeah, basically coming in line with expectations, so doing enough to keep things moving along at a reasonable tick, but it's not shooting the lights out and there's still a lot of concern about forward earnings.
Okay, well, we'll leave the earnings season there. Thanks very much. The coronavirus had some disturbing new developments over the weekend. There was a spread to more countries and a warning that the incubation period might be much longer than first expected.
Markets haven't taken the news particularly well. I think for the last couple of weeks, market participants have more or less priced in that the situation was being reasonably well contained by Chinese authorities. And we're still seeing that the number of cases in Hubei and broader China are decreasing or slowing down. But it was that news last week that South Korea's number of incidences has risen, Japan, a couple of deaths there, even Iran and Italy now too are sort of, taking steps to try and contain the impact of the virus you know, in their countries. So it's coming back to a situation now where markets are expecting that maybe the outbreak has a little further to go and things can get a little worse from here.
And it is clogging up global trade and commerce. You can you can actually see on websites that there aren't, the ships aren't moving through the Yangtze River.
Yeah.
And that's a major trade route in the world, and they're just stuck. They're starting to clog up because they can't get through, and that's why WiseTech has such a poor outlook for the second half, because no one knows how long that logistics kind of freeze is going to be on in the world. If you drive around Melbourne past the ports, the containers are starting to stack up pretty high.
Right.
There's starting to be, you can kind of see that things are grinding to a halt. Although there hasn't been the real slowdown that some industries were worried about. Now it just becomes a problem of containment. Do we start shutting travel with other countries? Are we, you know, is anyone discussing a freeze on flights from Korea, South Korea?
Yeah, it's becoming a major concern. You sort of look at, you know, some of the price action that we follow in particular, and some of those key levels that were, I suppose, established just before everyone got a little bit more optimistic about, you know, the global growth story once again around September, October last year. We're seeing price break some of those, you know, what we call key support levels. So, I mean, US 30-year treasuries hit record lows over on Friday. We're seeing, you know, US 10 years back below 1.5%, Aussie dollar at 65 cents. All this stuff speaks for market, again, pricing in some pretty profound impacts from the coronavirus. So manifesting a little bit in stock markets, but especially in broader financial markets.
And can I ask what gold is doing?
Yes, of course. Gold hit another seven or eight year high over the weekend, $1,650 US dollars per ounce. So again, that flight to safety, lower real yields and all that kind of stuff. You know, the stock market won't necessarily tell you the full story, but broader financial markets are. And it's there's probably a few red flags there.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on the WHO website and how that spreads throughout the rest of the week.
IG is a world-leading online trading provider, giving traders access to over 16,000 global financial markets on our award-winning platforms. With over 45 years of experience, you can trade with confidence when with IG. Visit ig.com.au for more information. All trading involves risks. Issued by IG Markets Limited, AFSL 220440.
Welcome back. This last section we're calling What's on Your Radar, where Carl and I get to talk about topics that are not necessarily making the headlines, but that we think are important. In the Democratic primaries, Bernie Sanders is gaining momentum. He's just won Nevada. Next Saturday is South Carolina and then Super Tuesday. So he's gaining quite a lot of momentum. My colleague David Scutt wrote a piece on the weekend talking about how concerned markets are about a Sanders victory. So I thought I'd have a look at what his policies actually are. Why are markets concerned? There's some big numbers in there. One is that he wants 100% renewable energy in the United States.
Yes, that big Green New Deal.
Yes, and he'd also give $200 billion to the Green Climate Fund.
Yes.
He's going to cancel $1.6 trillion of student loan debt. And this is why billionaires are worried. He's going to raise $4.3 trillion, these are all US dollars, and halve billionaires' wealth through a tax on extreme wealth. And he classifies extreme wealth as someone with more than $32 million.
There you go.
Yes. And for traders, he wants to impose on stock, bond and derivative trading a small charge. And the largest charge would be a 0.5% fee on a stock trade.
Right. So if you trade a Tobin tax or something like that, right?
Yeah, very much. So if you trade $1,000, the government will get $5 of that. And he specifically wants that to try and reduce high frequency trading.
Right.
So I can see why the markets are a little concerned, but there's also a lot of stimulus in there. There's investing $2.5 trillion in public houses, and there's a $70 billion upgrade to existing public housing. So there's quite a lot of, you know, changes in
the
economy.
Radical reform, potentially.
Exactly, you know. And there is there is opportunity in change.
Absolutely.
I must also point out that I had a look at Donald Trump's website to try and compare his policies, but I could not find a policy section.
No.
I could find a lot of endorsements, a lot of what I've done, but I could not find anything about what he's going to do if he wins a second term.
A small target approach, perhaps.
Yes. And Carl, what's been catching your eye over the last week or coming up in the next week?
So I'm stuck on global PMI data at the moment. So we had a spate of it out on Friday, and European figures were reasonably solid, albeit still in what we'd consider a state of contraction. But the US numbers were really poor. So the composite PMI data that came out showed a pretty considerable contraction in business activity, especially driven by some of the services sector, so tourism and the like.
So this isn't just factories and manufacturing?
Manufacturing, and there was a services component as well. And there's been, I suppose, the story in the market for a little while that manufacturing kind of dipped in towards the 2019 as the business cycle slowed, global, the trade war started to play out and the rest of it. There was a bit of a rebound, but the services sector was reasonably solid throughout that whole period. So manufacturing was a little bit soft, still is a little bit soft, and the services sector started to decline as well by the PMI measure. And some of that is being attributed to the early signs of the coronavirus. So I'm watching that, and that sort of ties into the end of this week where we get Chinese PMI numbers, the first that will actually take into account potentially the impacts of the coronavirus. So market sold off really on the basis of some of those numbers on Friday. If we get some poor PMI data out of China.
This Friday.
That could sort of fan some of those fears that the global economy is in a slightly softer state than previously thought.
And it will be very interesting to see if the China shutdown is a blip that is then everything doubles in, you know, the next few months, and then by the end of the year we're even Stevens.
Yes.
We don't know how long this is going to go for and if we've got the rest of the year to catch up.
Yeah, exactly. The question is whether we have an L-shaped or a V-shaped rebound, you know, whether, you know, all this stimulus that will get pumped in by Chinese policymakers over the next few months will see, you know, the Chinese economy burst back into recovery at the end of the year, or whether there'll be some permanent damage done. We spoke about supply chains before, you know, that perhaps, you know, permanent changes will occur to those that could impact the Chinese economy. So that's what markets really care about right now. You know, they know that in the short term things are bad, but the real worry is that the recovery might be slower than expected.
Thank you very much for coming in and having a chat to us this week.
Thank you.
This has been The Short Squeeze, a podcast produced with The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald in conjunction with IG Markets. Follow daily stock market news on our Markets Live blog on the website. Feel free to subscribe to this podcast on your podcast platform. And you can catch us again next week.